Hey guys, how you doing? This is Richard Sachs. I'm your host on Lost Arts Radio Live. Thanks for spending a little time with us. I really appreciate it. It's an honor to be with you again this week. And I guess I have to issue a little bit of a disclaimer before getting into this week's material, because as you might have noticed, things in the outside world are a little intense right now with the crackdown and the censorship, and you know where that comes from, and we've been talking about where it's going, and not extremely cheerful, you know, among all the stuff that we could talk about. But the disclaimer is just that none of this is to make you feel depressed or hopeless or anything like that. It's just the opposite. I think it's strategic awareness to know what's going on in the world around you, so that you don't get, you know, unconsciously just blindsided by what happens. But at the same time, that's just kind of a baseline awareness on the physical level. The message that the major corporate media wants to give everybody, and coming down from the rulers who write the screens that they read from, as if it was their own thoughts and with their own the teleprompters, you know, that tell them what attitude to have, what tone of voice to have, how to make their face and look really condescending and authoritative and caring, but at the same time kind of assuming that there's nothing you can do, and here's the stuff that's going on, here's the people to hate, and here's the people that are doing good, and here's all your points of view that are acceptable, and by the way, if you don't agree, then we'll just censor you and you'll be gone from any ability to communicate and now to live, because they're going farther. So that's the message, that you're just limited and helpless and you have to go along with the status quo. The message that I'm telling you is that that's the opposite of the truth, that you have massive power potential for healing this place. And that's the reason that it's worth our taking a little bit of time together, not excuse me, not just to go over the latest developments and all the horrible things that are happening in the world, because that by itself doesn't help you. The reason it's worth taking the time is to know that, okay, this is going on, this is what it means, this is where it's coming from, this is what needs to happen as an antidote, and who's got the antidote? Oh, you. You're not the helpless, limited being that you've been told. That's not exactly accurate, to put it mildly, and that's where we're going with this thing. And I know most of this internal work and the deeper stuff we work on in Planetary Healing Club, I can't mention most of it because we're already on the edge of getting censored for the stuff we do mention, but I've got, as long as we're here and we're allowed to do this, I want to let a little bit more of it seep through from the other show as much as we can today, so we'll try that out. But looking around the world, if you're looking for a pattern in the events that are going on, it really does continue to look like a contest between good and evil, you know, playing light and dark, and playing out in so many different ways. And I mean that in a real simple sense, not one belief against another, you know, that each person who has a belief thinks everybody else is wrong and they're the enemy, and the enemy thinks that about them, and it just leads to this endless feud and fighting. I don't mean good like that. I mean it in a generic sense, just kind of wanting all possible good things to happen to everyone, even the people who are playing the part of the bad guys, because the secret you're not supposed to understand is that underneath their programming, they're the same as us. And if we were looking out through their eyes and their past history and their emotional state, the drugs that they're on, whatever, you know, the family that they've got, the interaction, teaching they've had, all their past, if we were standing in those shoes, we'd be doing precisely what they're doing. So that there's really, if you understand that, there's no basis to look down on anybody anywhere in any circumstances. And to condemn anybody, there's no basis for that, let alone for God to do that, for us to do that as mere humans. There's no basis. It comes from false pride and misunderstanding. We're where we are if we're not in the middle of that by basically by grace and good fortune And that gives us more responsibility, not a position to condemn anybody. It's like, you may have heard of the phrase, loving your neighbor as yourself. And it's not some kind of just, it didn't originate with a religion, although different religions say it in different ways. It originated because under the surface, what's really happening is the other guy or the other woman or whoever you're looking at is you in another form. And how you feel toward yourself, whether you give yourself that same support or not, and have a chance to break out of the hypnosis, is going to be the same attitude you have toward the other person, because the other person's really you in another form. I know that is not in the category of world news, okay, but we're talking about taking what's going on in the world and trying to get something out of it. If you want an exhaustive review of the actual news events, large numbers of them, I still think Alex's show is the best I've seen so far. And there are other ones that are great quality, but the comprehensive nature of Alex's is why the mainstream corporate media want everybody to hate him. In fact, the censorship is getting so bad now that anybody who mentions, I'm taking the chance of mentioning just his first name because the bots are not quite that brilliant yet, although they're getting in that direction where they'll recognize partial references. And I guess they'd have to, you know, ban everybody whose first name is the same. But it's now going that if you help these people that they want you to hate in any form, you buy something to help support their project, which I strongly suggest. Alex in particular has really good stuff to buy at his store, and I can't mention the site or will disappear in real time the way it's going now. But I think you know who I'm talking about. They're getting to the point where they will cancel our credit cards if we buy anything from an unapproved site like that, like vitamins and stuff like that. So it's getting pretty intense, but by evil, so by good, I guess what I was saying is, I mean, wanting good for everybody, because like for the bad guys, that would mean they wake up. And guys, I don't mean just men, obviously. The women have really stepped up and taken a full equal share of the evil now, and some of them are acting just as bad as the men. But in every case, the person underneath all that programming that's hypnotized into playing the bad guy or the bad lady, they're the same as us, and they're not bad intrinsically. So by evil, you know, the struggle of good and evil, I was referring to wanting to cause harm and suffering and death for their own sake, or being willing to maliciously go after other people if you're compensated well, stuff like that. And that I look at that as evil, and that covers a lot of things. Harming others so you can feel powerful over them in some way, or enjoy enslaving and destroying them. And we've talked about the real agenda of the global rulers before. It's not just population reduction, although I appreciate Mike's bringing that out, because that is a real step. It's just not the end game. The end is they want total extermination of life on this planet, including themselves, and that's really hard for most normal people to grasp, because they think, oh, why would they want to kill themselves? But the changes that they're making to our life support system here, called the environment or the biosphere, the ecosystem, they are not the kind of changes that you make if you want to still be here. They're the irrevocable kind. We can be healed. There are ways to do that. But as far as they're going for complete destruction and permanency of that. It's a ceremonial sacrifice. And to make it complete, they have to satisfy the right timing, the right notices to us, the right milestones at the right time, and they have to throw themselves on it at the end. And they think merge into cyberspace and become, merge into the dark power that they worship forever. And that's what they think is going to be really great. It's not going to work out that way, in case any of you guys are monitoring or listening to us. It's a big mistake. Not because it's a wrong belief. The belief doesn't matter. It's the reality that matters. And consciousness doesn't work that way. But as long as they believe it, they're creating a big mess. And their motive, it's a very complex system where they're, you look at all these world events, they're motivating their servants within the power structure at different levels according to what appeals to them. So at the bottom level, down with the people just working in some agency or department or corporation or government department that is really wreaking havoc with humanity, mostly they're just working for a paycheck. And like if they're working to enforce some aspect of medical tyranny, forced drug administration or injections or things like that. I'm not going to say the V word because you wouldn't see us more than a couple minutes after that. Or any part of government or corporate surveillance or government or corporate theft, deception, as in the media, which is the main business of deception every day, newspapers and TV, the major ones, or environmental destruction, like corporate pollution of the environment. They might hate their jobs being involved in that, or some of them, especially if they're highly educated in the corrupt educational system, they might think that they're helping humanity, helping people by enforcing all those horrible things because they believe in drug medicine or injections, stuff like that. So if they believe, for example, that we were just talking about, injecting poison prevents disease, which only highly educated and highly brainwashed people would ever fall for that, because the others would look at the history and find out it's the opposite. If they believe in that, then they might think that they're actually helping humanity, saving us from horrible plagues and terrible diseases like the ones they've been mentioning that used to be just normal and everybody got them and was fine. But higher up in positions of the corporate government power structure, they might be drunk on money and position and know that they're causing harm, but they've, a lot of them have kind of a cynical life view, and that they don't care what the harm is. They don't believe in karma, reaping what you sow. You know, they trust that they're supported by the system and they're safe, so they can do whatever they want to humanity, and they kind of get off on that power that they're given, and, you know, they misuse it. But high up in the system, more of them are, I'd say they're high on the drug of evil, especially, and openly serve dark powers, and they believe the nature of reality is evil. I'm going through this as quick as I can because I've got, as usual, about four times as much as I have time to share with you here. So I'm skipping to the high points of my bullet points that I wrote down before the show and over the week. Anyway, they think that the dark power is the supreme God that controls everything and is totally evil. And some know about the population reduction and think that's really the goal. They're pretty high up in the system. But the highest ones of them on the human level know that the goal is to merge with that power forever. And in the process, they know the plan is to exterminate not just the humans, not just all life on Earth, but including themselves. And they're looking forward to it. And actually, it doesn't take incredible analysis to figure out that's what's going on. Anybody that has common sense left can see that's what they're doing. They're not just trying to reduce population and save the integrity of the life support system of the Earth for them as the remnant. They're ruining it all completely, intentionally, not as an oversight, not as a thing that science is trying to figure out how to do it right and save nature. It's just the opposite. They're methodically destroying life, not all at once, which they could do overnight with the technology that they have now, but that would ruin the whole ceremonial, sacrificial nature of it. They have to do it right, step by step, creating a lot of fear in the process and the subtle elements that are required to get the credit they want. But even though common sense can see what's going on, it's a problem because we've been programmed, those of us that have been educated in the so-called educational system or the programmed entertainment coming out of Hollywood, which is mostly Chinese-owned now, but it's all tyranny-oriented and insanity-oriented. Fake education in our systems has done a great job. And to the now at this point, we have a hard time seeing what's right in front of our eyes. But the problem for our rulers is that not all of us are totally brainwashed and hypnotized. Some are protesting and they're seeing at least part of what's going on. There's a lot of people that have chosen a single issue and see that as the main thing, whether it's geoengineering or GMOs or nuclear power or aggressive war or racism or whatever. And some are protesting and exposing the crimes to some extent of the partnership between government and corporations. So those people need to be silenced by the strategy of the power structure as soon as possible, really, because they're quite irritating to the rulers that want everybody to just quietly kind of lose hope and give up. So that's why there's this worldwide program going on to silence all unacceptable speech. Like the guy that I always refer to as having a great news show, even though a lot of people hate him, it's mostly because either they don't understand or because they do understand and they don't want what he's teaching people to get out there. And the worldwide program to silence unacceptable speech now, as I was mentioning, says that if you do any business with somebody like that who's trying to support themselves by selling things, then you could lose your credit cards and all your other rights. And some of the people that work with him now are being banned by all these other corporations. And you can see how they all collude. Uber, for example, is banning some of the people who work with that news sites. So they can't get rides anywhere. There's some kind of a service called Google Eats or something like that that delivers food. Some of the people that work on that news site can't get their food anymore that way. I mean, it's getting pretty serious. It's and they feel like they have a green light because the current government and president are not visibly doing anything to stop that stuff. And hopefully they're going to, and they're building up to it, because the president and some of the people in the U.S. government, a small handful of them, are actually ethical people, and they know that some of this stuff is going on. But the major corporate media is full of, is all following the program and all inclusion. They're just reading off teleprompters that are all programmed from the same central bureaucracy, and they're told what they can't say it, how to look sincere, how to look authoritative and really concerned for you. Also, websites that are outside the system are not just being banned, but attacked on all levels, like the Uber thing, and their bank accounts are being taken, stuff like that. And it's really demonstrating the extent of the collusion and cooperation between all those corporations and government agencies to attack any voices of dissent together. They're actually allies. And they attack their sponsors and their credit and their banking and all the sources of survival. But now other levels of suppression are being added, you know, as they attack the life support systems and the ability to communicate with customers, things like that, canceling your credit card if you deal with them. It's a new development, and it's going on at the same time as Microsoft, for example, coming out with a new version of Word that they've got almost everybody using right now. And it's going to change what you're typing to be politically correct, in their view, as in real time. In other words, you type a phrase and it'll change it to be what they think you should believe. And there's a program called NewsGuard, and it's being installed in computers and devices to warn you. You know, if you try to go to some news site, or not just news site, but any website that they think you should not be able to see, they'll warn you, and then they'll block you, and then they'll report you for trying to go there. And it's beyond what was described in 1984. For any unapproved websites, and they'll be able to stop you from doing that. So one of the responses that's happening among people that understand these developments is that in various countries around the world, people are running for office or have already been elected and chosen that are not completely brainwashed, which is incredible. And some of them are called populist candidates or freedom candidates, people like that, or other names. But it's a great, inspiring, and encouraging development. You know, they had a president in Brazil who believes in national sovereignty and freedom and firearms rights, which are critically essential to maintaining the freedom. And we've talked about that before. We've had guests like Larry Pratt from GOA on the Sunday show, and hoping to get somebody from the other organizations that are under attack right now. The biggest one that has three letters in it, N is the first letter, and then after that there's an R, and later on there's an A. That organization is targeted for extermination right now, and they're trying to take away their bank accounts. In fact, the governor of New York talked more about that this week, and he said they've got this huge budget available to him, and he's using it with representatives from the state organization in New York to go after that private corporation that advocates firearms rights and exterminate them. And nobody's stopping any of that activity right now. That's another thing that the president and people in Congress need to be dealing with. So let's see what a real populist candidate would be like. You know, you see right away that they're targeted by the system for destruction, but what would it be like if they were fully awake, and what would they talk about to get elected? And I mention that because we have a guest on the Sunday show tomorrow who's one of those, who's a real, I'm not saying any of us are fully conscious at this point, because if we were, we wouldn't be seeing what's going on in the world still happening. But it's very encouraging to see people going in that direction. And there's a candidate in Denmark running for parliament in the election that's in the beginning of June. Needs support from everybody around the world. And I hope you guys will do it. I'll tell you more about that later and who it is. But a real populist candidate who was really conscious would be against war, completely against war, like the current American president was the only candidate of the major parties who didn't want to start war with Russia right away. And he's deteriorated on that and just treated Russia really badly, probably because of the pressure to call him a Russian agent. But that was a big failing that hopefully he can correct. But a real populist candidate would be completely against war, except they would want a strong defense of their national borders. You know, those lines that say where the country ends, you would not let anybody in unless they were checked to not be an enemy of some kind, and then they go through the correct legal process. The United Nations is trying to convince everybody that that's not true, that borders are racist, and people are so dumbed down in America that they actually fall for that kind of stuff. But a real populist candidate would never use force, in military force or anything, except for defensive purposes. There'd be no occupation and invasion of other countries. Ron Paul talked about that a lot when he was running for president, but also when he was a congressman in Texas, from Texas. So an American populist candidate, you know, with that idea of the wars, you don't do wars except in real defensive situation, would shut down the military operation in Afghanistan right now, which the current president tried to do. And interestingly, both parties opposed that. They said, it's really important. Gee, I wonder who controls all those Congress people who said that. The war in Afghanistan is to protect the minerals and the heroin opium trade for the deep state spy agencies that have other black projects. That's what it's for. It's not a war against anybody that we're fighting for defensive purposes. It's to raise money from the drug trade. That's it. And a real populist candidate would say that, not just through the fake media that try to twist it. He or she would set up meetings in the Oval Office two or three times a week and tell the people everything. I mean, not sensitive national secrets that would hurt the country, but everything about what's really going on. And wouldn't waste time relying on the corporate media that's assigned to destroy them. Spending trillions of dollars to protect the opium and heroin trade to fund black ops is never not really something that would be acceptable to any candidate. And the current president in the U.S. that I don't want to name either because of reaction to that from the bots has been trying to do that, and hopefully he'll succeed. But he really blew it listening to his advisors, many of whom he put in there, and turns out that they're enemies of him and the good things he's trying to do. Shooting missiles into Syria, for example, at their suggestion is a war crime, and falling for that was a huge failing. Promoted to the president by traitors posing as advisors. So a real populist candidate would try to make peace with other countries, should have made peace with Russia immediately and after election and taken their great offer to be allies in peaceful cooperation. That was what should have happened. And hopefully the president will turn around and start doing that. But even though they would cooperate with other countries, they would never sacrifice national sovereignty for this criminal idea that all the sovereignty is racist and incredible nonsense that a lot of us fall for. So to know how to correctly apply that discretion, you know, the difference between independence in an adversarial way and independent cooperation, that would require some real education and awareness. And that's been very rare now, and not by accident. You know, the current educational system is designed to make it impossible for you to think straight, and it's really successful. I know I'm in the middle of it and hoping to get out of it finally with, you know, my sanity and still intact and growing, but that's against the purpose of the educational system. So a real populist would withdraw from all these criminal organizations that everybody thinks are so wonderful, like the UN and the EU and the WHO and the WTO, and any partnerships run by supranational bureaucracies that would override a country's own laws, such as trade organizations, under the guise of what's called free trade, in quotes. Free trade is a real misunderstanding, because if you have a country that is just enslaving and killing its people even more than the others, and they're working for practically nothing and being slave labor, you can't have free trade with a country like that. If you do, you're going to get destroyed, and all the industries are going to move to that country, and then you don't have any more national security. It's not complex, and you're supposed to not understand that. You know, before there was an income tax, which is actually unconstitutional in the U.S., there were tariffs that supported the country and built Washington, D.C. and all that. And now you're told that those are evil protectionist measures. Well, protection, if you're protecting something important and good, protection's actually good. It's not an evil thing. So we've been so brainwashed, it's really bad. Cooperation between independent sovereign countries, though, would be a normal, healthy pattern. And to do that, the populist leader would have to understand, and the people too, the real nature of those organizations and what they really do. And that if you give a beautiful name to an organization that is there to destroy sovereign countries and force all kinds of terrible things on people, it doesn't matter about the beautiful name, okay? Then that's not a real deep concept, but apparently that's been pretty much forgotten. And for example, in the UK right now, in England, a populist leader, a really good person in office as the prime minister, would leave the EU in one day. They wouldn't play all these games and try to say, well, we need the right deal. And no, you don't need the right deal. You just need to be out of that nonsense, because they're not supposed to override the laws of your country, and they do. So you get out, you strengthen your own country, make it great. That's not just for America, that's for any country, and then cooperate with the countries that don't want to hurt you and are going to be mutually beneficial, and make one-on-one relationships with other countries that are helpful without sacrificing your own freedoms in your country. It's an old cliche, but it's not like rocket science, right? That's just common sense. And you don't take years after the people vote to get out of this monstrosity called the EU and keep not doing it. The leader that does that is a traitor and working against the whole country, and should be thrown out also overnight if the people could do that. those things are just common sense. And the EU is just one example. There's many other organizations that have nice names and they're not nice. Some kind of a forum for communication and cooperation between countries, which is what the UN and the League of Nations and the EU were sold as, but they were actually the opposite. But some kind of a good forum like that for cooperation could be set up by leaders who are not corrupt. That's a totally different concept that doesn't try to override a country's national sovereignty and their own laws. All these ideas and principles that we're going over, the point of it is to say it's really simple. It's not, and it's really not partisan at all. This left-right thing of conservative, liberal, and where you're supposed to fight the people of the other side and hate them and think that they're the devil incarnate and your side is all wonderful, and that was a distraction. You weren't supposed to fall for it. Because what if you didn't have to fight any other side like that? What if you could just realize that everybody was individual humans and everybody has common interests? You know, take care of the life support system of the planet. You call that the environment, you know. If you're a conservative and you think you shouldn't care about that and all the environmental stuff is nonsense, you're falling for that trick again. The partisan thing is garbage. You just dump it and say, what's true? And what's going to help people? Not at the expense of their freedom. Not this deception that it's for the greater good, so you have to give up all your freedoms. No. You can't have the freedom to hurt other people unnecessarily, you know, non-defensively. But the only freedoms you have to give up are things that are no good anyway. You know, you give up the right to run a company like Monsanto or Bayer, that's not a right. That's like worse than smoking on an airplane. I think you go in your own house, you should be able to smoke yourself to death if you want to. That's your freedom, but not other people. So something like GMOs, where the Department of Agriculture has said, well, we want, what is it, coexistence, right? The GMO farmers happily living next door to the organic farmers. We have to be so dumb to even think that that is a real proposal. I mean, no, it is a real proposal, but that it makes any sense. It's just totally ridiculous. GMOs are not compatible to be anywhere on the planet. Every country should ban them completely, not just a moratorium. If there was any common sense left in the governments and not just corruption, they would have banned the GMOs right away. That's not an infringement of freedom. You're not free to set up something that's going to destroy the world and all the people who live around you. And, you know, you're not free to set up, you're not legitimately free to set up systems like 5G or even 4G or 3G or 2G or 1G. They're, as Barry Trower and so many others have described on our, explained on our Sunday guest shows, those are designed, as Mark Steele said really well, to interfere with the frequencies of intercellular communication in your body, also in the frequency of oxygen and water. That's how those frequencies are chosen. I mean, the idea that that ever would have been able to get any traction anywhere on the planet for one day gives you a clue of where we are, because that is so beyond ridiculous. And you have these people with degrees that for the most part are completely corrupt now and willing to lie for money. And they're saying, well, I have 5 PhDs, you know, and Wi-Fi and 5G are totally safe and good for you. And if they weren't, obviously government would have stopped it. If you fall for that, you have no idea what government and corporations have degenerated into. And when I say corporations, I don't mean the structure of a corporation. There's nothing evil about that, because you could make a corporation to spread true beyond organic farming and charity and, you know, people loving each other. You could set up a corporation to do that and really do it. Or like some of these fake charitable corporations, you could make a real one. The structure doesn't make it real. It's what's being done with it. So you're not supposed to understand any of that, but it's not hard to understand. If you shake off the hypnosis and are brave enough to actually look at what's going on, the condition that people are in right now, being made into robots and zombies and malicious zombies that want to kill each other, then you start thinking, oh, wow, this is like, this wouldn't even be realistic enough for a sci-fi movie. That's really where we are, and the only purpose of going over all this stuff is so that you can see what has to be healed and fixed and harmonized, and it can be. This is not to give up. That's the global rulers telling you you should give up because you can't do anything. If they're telling you that, the opposite is true. So I'm just reminding you, you're not a temporary weak type being. There's things you can do much stronger than sign a petition, although that may be helpful too. So one of the suppressed subjects, one of the most suppressed subjects, I think, is the nature of how banking works. At the top levels of power, it's not about money at all. They already control all the money. They have unlimited wealth. But all over the world, they use a system of central banks. We've had Edward Griffin on the show and others that talked about how that works. Central banks are not there to give people money. They're not there to lend them new money to help them. They're there to steal all the real wealth by a process called inflation, creating boom and bust economies, which in America, for example, when the current central bank called federal, which it's not, and it's not in the federal government, and it's not, doesn't use any of its own reserves. That was a fake name to make you trust it. They got in telling the people that no more economic boom and bust, we're going to control everything. And then the 1929 depression happened and a whole bunch of other ups and downs after that. They're there to, the central banks and the fractional reserve banking, which is a totally criminal system, is there to control countries and governments and individuals completely. That's what they use money for. At the top levels, it's not, what they're after is not money. But the people that work for them, the various levels in the system, they do care about the money. But a long time ago, the first banks were actually storehouses of precious metal, gold mainly, and I think silver too. And they gave out paper receipts. So you didn't want to carry around 10 pounds of gold in a bag on your belt. And besides, it's easy to steal and stuff. So you put it in the storehouse that the goldsmiths were the ones that owned those originally, and they gave you a receipt for the amount of gold that you gave them, and they kept it there. You know, kind of normal. That's what a bank should be, and I think subconsciously people think that's still what a bank really is, and it doesn't even have any relation to that now. It's the opposite. So that paper money that was receipts for the gold you left in the bank had real value because you could trade it for the gold. Anytime these people talk about backing money with natural resources like oil and other things like that, that's not realistic, because backing a currency means you can take the paper and trade it in for the thing, and it's pretty hard to take the note, a $10 note or whatever, and trade it for a cup of oil. I mean, that's not going to happen. So the precious metals were the ones that worked the best. And in the beginning, it was honest. But then eventually, fractional reserve banking took over. And what that is the goldsmiths who were keeping everybody's gold and giving them receipts realized after a while, nobody's getting their gold out. They're just using the paper. They don't even know that we've got the gold in here or not. What if we gave out 10 times or 100 times the amount of paper receipts for the gold that we really have? That way we would make, you know, hundreds of percent or thousands of percent profit, and we'd end up taking everybody's wealth and giving out more receipts than the gold. And that became known as fractional reserve banking. That's in play right now in the U.S. and most other parts of the world. It's basically a system used by banks to steal the value of everybody's money by giving out paper money or computer money without having anything back there to back it. And now the situation is, in fact, that there's not just less real wealth in the bank and the central bank to back the paper. There's nothing. So the only thing that makes people assume that the paper has any money or the computer entry that says what's in your bank account is that the government says it decrees, which is the word fiat, you know, is a decree that this is worth that. This is how much it'll buy. And that way they can manipulate it. And the amount of real money like gold and silver that you can actually trade it in for that's being held on your account is zero. So it makes the value of the fake money totally arbitrary and decreasing overall constantly. And this gradually transfers the real wealth to the banks and creates slavery. That's what's going on. So this is part of what's drastically wrong with this so-called Green New Deal that our friends at OCA and others are supporting. This is a real big mistake. Massive debt increase to the central banks. Instead of ending the slavery to the central banks, this proposal completes their control over any government in any country because it just makes debt that is so far beyond what could ever be touched. You know, if you have a big debt that you can't pay, then whoever gave you that debt gets to control you. That's the rule. And that's economic and social suicide. So there are ways, you know, the Green New Deal talks about helping the environment, which is actually really important. And has to be done. That's why a lot of the environmental supporters fall for the Green New Deal without thinking about the other parts of it, like healthcare and the massive debt that it and government control and everything, which are lethal mistakes, or not mistakes of the people doing it, mistakes of the people supporting it. Just because it's called green doesn't mean that it's smart to do it. There are real ways to create and protect and heal the environment that create prosperity instead of disaster, but they involve breaking free of the system that is now shutting down free speech and calling it all hate speech, by the way. And people fall for that, too. They think, well, yeah, it's bad to hate people, right? So it should be illegal. And who defines what hating anybody is? Well, the government, obviously, or the corporations like Facebook and the other big ones like that, Google and YouTube and everything. But they don't know history. You know, this has been used by tyrannies all over the place in world history, Soviet Union and other places. But now they've added technology to it. So they can actually go into your computer, into your phone, after making everybody addicted to those technologies. And they can shut off your ability to say what you want to say. It's basically the social credit system. The one that's being developed first in China is already moving into all these other countries very fast, very aggressively. And it's making it so that if you have, they watch what you say and they determine what you believe and what your attitudes are. And if you have the wrong beliefs, then they just first cut off your ability to travel. Then they cut off your ability to buy good food. Then they cut off your ability to get a job or buy a house. And pretty soon you're just destroyed. And that's already happening in America and a lot of other places. So, you know, this is something that a lot of conservative people don't, so-called conservative labeled people don't understand. The environmental issue of really taking care of the environment is not just important, it's absolutely top priority. But not the way the Green New Deal says. I mean, not by becoming economic slaves and things. Right now, the environmental policy of the U.S. and most countries of the world is actually coming down to them from the top-level rulers, the ones carrying out the ceremonial sacrifice, remember, that we talked about. They're the ones making the environmental policy. Why would they really want to protect the environment if they're involved in destroying life on Earth? They wouldn't. So what's the real policy? The opposite, destroying the environment intentionally. And in most most countries, things that would actually heal the environment are forbidden. These stupid taxes, like in the Paris Climate Accord, what they were pushing, doesn't help the environment at all. It just steals more wealth from the people of various countries and gives it to the power structure that's destroying them. It's a really bad idea. And just because you call something a climate accord doesn't mean that it really is. It could just be straight theft, which is the case. We had Alex Newman on from the Paris meeting and from the other one that followed it to describe what was actually happening. And it had nothing to do with helping the environment. In fact, you guys might remember the so-called Gulf oil spill that happened in the Gulf of Mexico in the U.S. It wasn't really a spill. It was intentionally drilling into a place that would allow high-pressure oil in massive quantity to come out and contaminate the Gulf of Mexico. And they did it knowing that would happen. And then Kevin Costner and a bunch of other people that had safe, harmless solutions, bacterial-based solutions and other things that would eat up the oil with no bad effect, no downside, just like real medicine has no downside and no deadly effects. That's an incredible scam. But they were told to go away, rejected and silenced. Instead, this super toxic chemical called Corexit, that's a brand name, I don't remember the chemical formula of it, was sprayed all over the ocean because it had this great capability of hiding the problem. It dispersed the oil so you couldn't see that the real magnitude of the issue. And just for good measure, they sprayed it over the people on the land. Unbelievable. Well, it's not unbelievable. It really is believable if you understand what's going on. So now people are eating the seafood out of the Gulf of Mexico, which is really not a good idea. And one of the most powerful ways to help heal the environment is change the power sources. And, you know, people like the ones supporting the Green New Deal are saying, yeah, that's true. You know, and they're right about this. They point out that nuclear power is not just insane. It's intentionally insane. Any, you know, engineer or smart elementary school student would know that if you set up these nuclear plants like in Fukushima and all over America and South America and Europe and other places, eventually you're going to have multiple Fukushimas or worse, Chernobyls. It's guaranteed. It's just a question of when. It's not intelligent. You know, it's what Einstein said was a hell of a way to boil water. That was a very mild commentary on it, actually. And the Green New Deal people who say that we shouldn't use oil or coal, they're not entirely wrong at all, even though there's no shortage of those things. But they're a really stupid, inefficient way to generate energy. Solar and wind aren't even very good. They have a lot of drawbacks and they're not very efficient. But compared to advanced magnetics and zero-point sources and water fuel for internal combustion engines, which have been totally proven, demonstrated all over the U.S. before the person demonstrated it was assassinated. The energy policy of the U.S. in most countries is stay on the dirty energies and then convince the people that really want to help the environment, like the Green New Deal people, that the solution is stop using energy. Die, basically. You know, get rid of your, don't drive your car, don't sell your RV, or destroy your RV and kill it, you know, and don't use heat or air conditioning, like Obama told the people in Africa. If you use air conditioning and drive cars, the planet will boil over, so you have to use nothing. No, all the alternatives are already perfected. They've been available for more than 100 years, and you should look at Stephen Greer's recorded videos on YouTube. They are still there. A lot of long lectures that are totally worth listening to. And he's even set up a place, a safe place for inventors and reverse engineered people who are holding these clean and free energy sources to come to his place. I think it's in Virginia, and prove it. Make sure, demonstrate that it's replicable, that it's not just a scam like a lot of these that I've seen and saying online, they have all this free energy device and all you have to do is become a member or something. Well, if they did, they'd either be dead or banned or silenced in some way. The fact that they're allowed to stay up there constantly so far guarantees they're a scam. And they've been developed, though, clean and free energy sources for more than 100 years in the hands of inventors or reverse engineered. In the deep state, people watching this understand what I'm talking about. But anybody who tries to produce them is killed. They don't kill everybody who talks about it so far, but they do kill the people who try to, you know, spread it out over the world. And Stephen Greer's idea, which you can see on YouTube, is that if one is replicable, they'll give some money to the inventor or the person holding the reverse engineered device, and they'll instantly release it open source so it can't be stopped. I think that's a really good idea, but not one person has been brave enough so far to bring up one of these technologies to Stephen's system. So far, they're all too scared. We're getting near the end here. I'll try to go fast. I would say bottom line is an educated, really educated, not this fake education that makes you unable to think and really arrogant and proud about your fake knowledge. I'm not talking about that. I say a real educated populist candidate would expose that suppression of the energy technology that I was just talking about and the real environmental solutions that are available and have been just suppressed. And also, they'd expose the real health information that is violently suppressed in the U.S. right now and most of the world. And instead, they've got this toxic medicine that the doctors are so well educated in, most of the health personnel, that they think that's actually good for you. They think that Hippocrates, who said, do no harm to doctors and everybody else, was just an old, superstitious guy who didn't know advanced science. That's why he'd say dumb things like do no harm. But, you know, and now they're trying to make you refer in your papers that you write and everything, keep everything to the last 3 years of sources, certainly not hundreds of years ago to somebody like Hippocrates that they just define as ignorant. But that's where the wise people were. And there's still some around now. But they're definitely suppressed. And the health monopoly is going to be used to forcibly drug and inject people with things that will end, be the end of dissent. And that's why it has, because people be too sick to even think what they're for or against. And that's where they're taking us. So that is something that needs to be addressed. And I'd say also an educated populist candidate would expose the giant leech that is sitting, sucking the blood out of every country, which is the central bank, so that the people have to struggle to live all the time when the country, every country on earth is actually super rich in terms of natural resources. And if the big corporations and banks weren't sucking that all out, people would be in great shape all over the world. You wouldn't need to borrow tens of trillions of dollars, like the Green New Deal says, to try to make fake prosperity out of debt. The real prosperity is there, and it doesn't need any debt at all. And a real populist candidate would also expose the fake educational systems that we've been talking about that are designed to make it impossible to think clearly and get rid of common sense as unscientific. But the real question that remains in all this is, even if all this and more is exposed, say they talk openly about this and brave assassination, and like the current president in the U.S. should absolutely today, Mr. President, you should set up a 2 or 3 times a week public meeting on direct televised shows every couple days, saying what's happening and explaining stuff. You know, that people have become so brain dead. They don't even know that they fall for the most amazing stuff, all of us do. Like the wall on the southern border of the U.S. should have been done immediately. And the president was told he had to ask Congress. He didn't have to ask Congress. He's got a military budget, the same one they build illegal bases in foreign countries with no permission from Congress, if it's going to support some bad agenda. That's supposed to be used to do things like protect the border. There's no need to wait, although I heard that today that the plan is to take another $1.5 billion out of the drug business in Afghanistan, I mean the war, sorry, and put it on the southern border to help secure that. The Democrat candidates are all saying that, well, absolutely, we need a secure border, but any barrier is racist, okay? So let people just walk across but have a secure border. It's they think that we're so dumb that would fall for all that stuff. So the rulers that are in control of the country now are really hoping for civil war, mass rebellion, violent uprising. That way, you know, once they do that, they can come to their rescue and with microwave weapons and 5G once it's all installed and create peace through complete suppression and control of your life. So violence is supposed to be used for true defense only. It's not going to be the way to get any of these countries back. It has to be done peacefully and lawfully and within the system. But it'll be met with mafia tactics, just like it's been for thousands of years. So the question is, in the last couple minutes that we've got here, how can that cycle be broken? How can an entrenched system that is just about to cut off all free expression and all free speech is in there, how can that be turned around? Because violence is what they want. It's not smart. Self-defense has to be guarded. Firearms rights are critical, but you don't use violence offensively. So there actually is a way to turn it around, and it's suppressed even more than real free energy, which we could have tomorrow, in real free energy information, health information, for which people, doctors have been assassinated, over 100 now in the U.S., and clean technology. It's suppressed more than that, and it's got answers to health, energy, environmental solutions, and much more. And I would say that talking about it is absolutely vital. But you think that health information is suppressed on public platforms and people are being silenced by the thousands. What I'm talking about is much more unacceptable to the power structure. So we're talking about it on a private platform right now. It's the only way I can figure out how to do it, actually. PlanetaryHealingClub.com. And besides that, which you're invited to if it's something you want to do, PlanetaryHealingClub.com. But also, we talked about populist candidates a lot today. You can meet a real one tomorrow on the Sunday show. Mads Palvi from Denmark. It's going to be a really interesting show, so I'm inviting you personally to listen in, you know, either on audio streams like Blog Talk or video streams on all the major platforms for the moment. Brighteon.com if we do get kicked off, if and when. And Mike needs support on Brighteon.com anyway. The more you can watch videos on that site instead of the major ones, the better for him. And it'll grow faster, which is really needed. So that show with Mads Palsby, who will be in the election in Denmark on June 5th, that's going to air tomorrow night, 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern. And then the archive will be available after that. It's all free. And Planetary Healing Club is meets in half an hour from now. We're just about done with this. And if you're up to that and you want to start some personal work to open up, because the main message here is not all the bad things that are happening. The main message is you're the hero of the movie that we're waiting for, that we're in the middle of this sci-fi thing that they call real life. That's you. And the only reason that you don't fully experience it yet is programming. That programming can be dissolved for real. It's not a drug that does it either. It's consciousness. And that's what we talk about there. So if you're up to it, join us in 30 minutes from now, planetaryhealingclub.com. You'd have to act really fast to get into today's meeting. But if you feel like it, you can come. And there's no commitment there at all. You can quit anytime you don't like it. But it's not worth your time as a spectator sport. That's an action platform. And if you do the internal work, whatever other program that you're working on, you know, protesting GMOs or trying to stop geoengineering, that all becomes more effective if you do the work inside. It's a big secret, but it's time to have that secret opened up. PlanetaryHealingClub.com, and I will see you on this show next week, God willing, and I hope you have a great week. I'll see you then.